What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
It is Memorial Day weekend, and most importantly, even as we talk sports and share stories and enjoy an extra day off, maybe hit the road. I know a lot of you are out of your typical routines. A lot of you are on the road at times that you wouldn't be, or listening to the radio at times that you might not be otherwise. All of that is great. The unofficial start to summer is how we build this Memorial Day weekend. But most importantly, it is about honoring and remembering those who've made the ultimate sacrifice and the loved ones that were left behind in defense and service of our great nation. So we've got a post up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter. We're asking you to share with us the names, the branch of service, photos, and or messages for those that you're honoring and remembering on this Memorial Day. And we will retweet them from our show account, again, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Many of you together have a community where you support one another. And I know you always look through the threads as other people start to post as well. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. If you want to call in, good to hear from Raina in Alaska. Excited about the Women's College World Series that begins on Thursday. Coming up, we'll hear from Novak Djokovic. The French Open without Rafael Nadal opens up a whole lot. We've still got an ongoing Western Conference Finals in the NHL. And yes, we will get back to the NBA, the Eastern Conference Finals, with history right now within the grasp of Boston. Could the Celtics be headed to a second straight NBA Finals in pursuit of banner number 18, championship banner number 18? The NFL is supposed to be off this weekend. Well, and kind of off this weekend. The first round of mandatory practices last week. OTAs, that's the fancy name for them. Practice is what we were really talking about. Thank you, AI. And on Friday, when it was supposed to be clear sailing into the weekend, the Arizona Cardinals had a big announcement, and it involved one of their top flight wide receivers.
Murray looks like he's changing things up, talking to his offensive lineman. He's got three men wide to the left and two to the right, including Connor. So an empty set for Murray on third down and six at the LA 34. Chargers showing blitz. They back off. Murray back to pass. Flag down. Pass over the middle. Caught at the 20 and a broken tackle. Hop is loose at the 10, at the 5, and into the end zone for the touchdown.
That's Dave Pasch on Arizona Cardinals radio. But DeAndre Hopkins no longer a member of the Cardinals after three seasons there. Remember, this is the trade that Bill O'Brien made at Houston that essentially started the end of his tenure with the Texans. It sent David Johnson the other direction, if I remember correctly, the running back, and then a couple of fourth round draft picks, maybe a second in there as well. But D-Hop is no more in the desert. So we're pleased to welcome Tyler Drake, Cardinals insider from 98.7 AZ Sports in the desert. So much for the holiday weekend. Tyler, you are the best. What is your reaction to the Cardinals releasing Hopkins, not trading him, but actually cutting him?
Yeah. You know, first reaction was, wow, they actually really couldn't get a deal done. And then second reaction right after that was more so about, hey, there's actually an answer to the question that has been the entire offseason. I think a lot of us on the media side for Arizona, I think, are going to be happy that we don't have to ask the question every single day now. So that's one positive. And you know, honestly, it just gives a little bit of clarity on what exactly this team wants to do moving forward. Maybe not so much this year, but going into 2024 and beyond.
What was the reason they did not or could not trade him, Tyler?
For me, I think it just comes down to his contract. From the reports that I saw, from the stuff that I've heard, from the stuff that I've gotten, is really it came down to the contract. And there were some, you know, discussions. I've heard Kansas City, Buffalo, I believe, but it really came down, the wrench in the plan was the contract. And I heard that he didn't want to go down from his contract, which is at 19.5 this year. And I think it's 15.6 or something next year for his base salary. But I think that was really the biggest issue there. And at the end of the day, you've got to make the decision if you want to have the, you know, before June 1st cap hit all on this season, or if you want to spread it out after June 1st. And really, I think you can see the plan now is, hey, we're going to take that hit now and look to the future.
How much does the dead cap hit set them back, Tyler?
It's going to be tough. I mean, it's a $22.6 million dead money, I think, hit. If I'm correct, it might be a little off there just from maybe there's some signing bonuses or something thrown in. But, for the most part, it's like a $20 million hit. So I think you have to really look at the season for, you know, both Monty and Jonathan Gannon, general manager and head coach, is kind of a redshirt year. It's I think you just show improvement, show growth, and then really attack 2024, because now you have that contract off your books. You've got that money you can actually go spend on positions of need going into 2024 with really, really high draft picks that you're probably going to have from not only your team, but from the Houston Texans too, after making that deal in the draft.
Ultimately, why don't you think it worked between DeAndre Hopkins and the Arizona Cardinals?
You know, I think it just ran its course of they filled the need right away, and he came in and really did an amazing job in that first year. But then, you know, availability issues, I think, really, really hurt, you know, the trajectory that this team had with him on the side or with him on the field. So I think that's a big one. I think them having to kind of flip the script and you know, reset the rebuild organization, the hard reset button, I think that's he's getting up there in age. I don't think he wanted to be a part of that. And I don't think you can really blame him at this point. I think it was best for both sides to really move on. When you see, you know, Kyler Murray still coming back from that torn ACL, and who knows when he's going to play. And you just have a new regime that, you know, really wants to build this culture. And I think that was one move that kind of shows and signals, hey, this is a new team. This is a new regime. This is a new culture we're trying to build here. And that's the type of, I guess, noise we don't want to have around.
Just to clarify, you believe it was mutual or that this was D. Hopkins who wanted out?
I think it was mutual at the end of the day, just because if you look at what Monty Austin-Fort's doing and just trying to kind of rebuild what the old regime kind of left behind, it seems like he's trying to get off these big contracts and really, you know, get the 1 to 2 to 3 year deals this year and, you know, pay off that dead money this year and then have a kind of a clean slate in 2024 where you can really restock on those rookie draft picks or those rookie deals. And then you can also spend more on free agency. So I think both sides felt that there was going to be a parting of ways at some point. I just don't know if they knew it was going to be without a trade involved.
We're pleased to welcome our friend Tyler Drake back to the show from 98.7 AZ Sports. He's the Cardinals reporter, and he's willing to talk about the Cards on a holiday weekend, which is amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What is your response to these reactions that the Cardinals are tanking by making this move and some of the others that they've made?
I mean, you have to look at where they're at. Just given the rebuild that they're in the middle of, Kyler Murray's injury, you know, it's not going to hurt if they're going into next year with a really high draft pick that they have and probably another really high draft pick that the Texans are giving them. I can see where that conversation can come in, but I also think it's really about resetting what, you know, Steve Keim left behind, because there was a lot of contracts and a lot of stuff that Monty and the rest of this new regime have to weed through. So I really think it comes down to them looking at, you hate to say it, but you've got to look to 2024 and beyond, because that's really, I think, when you can start to see progress. I think really this year is going to be about individual growth. Let's see if these, you know, second-year guys can really take that step. Let's see if these rookies who are really showing football character already can really be the next up-and-comers that can make an impact. Let's see if these guys we signed on minimal deals can really make an impact and go from there. So I think this is kind of a just to prove it for improvement and growth for everybody on the team, and try to turn the page on that really, 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 really nasty last season that we all witnessed.
The Buda Baker news that he will likely be at training camp, or he plans to be at training camp. How big a surprise for you, Tyler?
That was the thing I was waiting for. You know, with voluntary OTAs, I know everybody's going to make a deal out of it because you pretty much have to, but he wasn't there. But at the same time, you know, if he missed mandatory stuff, that's when I think you really need to be concerned as a fan and as somebody that, you know, follows the team of, hey, he might actually not, they might not actually come to an agreement here. So it was good. And you know, you also have to think about it. They're getting off of Hopkins money. Who knows? Maybe they can try to facilitate something down the line that goes back to him. There's going to be more money to work with, and that's just something you have to think about. And they've talked so highly about Buda Baker as the definition of an Arizona Cardinal. So if that's really the case, I mean, you got to keep him around. I think we've all seen the heart and soul he's put into the game. Hard Knocks really opened that up too. So I think it really just comes down to if they can come to agreement and really move forward. But it seems like he's going to show up when he needs to show up and have a smile on his face like he usually does.
What are your first impressions of the new head coach, Jonathan Gannon, who comes from the Eagles, of course, as their former coordinator?
Yeah, a lot of energy. I think that's the number one thing is the dude comes in and he makes his presence known, which is a complete 180 from what we saw last year and really with the whole Cliff regime. I think there's just a really different energy in there, and you can tell that there's a different culture being built. I think he's a complete opposite of Cliff Kingsbury. Outside of, you know, being close in age, they really couldn't be any different. So it's refreshing, I think, just to kind of see the difference in personality and just engagement and everything like that. But, you know, until we see what happens on the field, it's just really just it's off-season talk until we see the X's and O's really play out.
Do you understand why they went this direction instead of a different direction, maybe a veteran coach?
One, I think they wanted to find the complete opposite of Cliff, and I think they found that in this guy.
Oh, my gosh.
And then two, you got to look at it, defensive, offensive, all that. But two, I think they still wanted somebody that can relate to the players and really be there in the room and not be have the degrees of separation that maybe a Bill Belichick has or somebody that's really established. I think maybe a guy that can grow with the team could really pay off in the end, but we just have to see how that's going to shape out.
All right, you knew I was going to follow up on that. Why the opposite of Cliff? What happened there? How much of that has to do with the quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I think you just have to have that degree of separation, if I could talk, with that. Just because, you know, Cliff was really the offensive coordinator, so it was him and Kyler. And I think if you can have a guy in between, like, hey, I'm the head coach, here's your OC, you guys figure it out, and I'll give you the final say. I think that's going to go a long way in really reshaping this team. And I think we've already seen that with just Kyler, his involvement with everything. He was there for the jersey reveal. You know, he's out there at OTAs and he's rehabbing, but he's taking time to come and see different position groups and talk with Drew Petzing, the offensive coordinator. And for me, he's showing a lot more maturity, a little more leadership. And I think that's everything this franchise has wanted him to show, everything fans have wanted him to show. So it's a step in the right direction. Obviously, we've got to see how he, you know, bounces back off that injury. But I definitely think having that kind of separation in head coach, OC, quarterback coach, Kyler, I think that's going to go a long way in the end of it.
Tyler Drake is with us to talk Cardinals for a few minutes here, with the latest developments being DeAndre Hopkins, but still a lot of questions around the team heading into 2023. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What was the last thing we knew about Kyler's health? I love that you laugh before you answer.
You know, it's going to be a daily question we ask. And Jonathan Gannon has given us no timeline. He won't give us a timeline. He doesn't like using timelines. So what I can tell you is that when they feel he's mentally and physically ready is when he'll come back. For me, I think that's week 8 and beyond. That's just my gut feeling.
Wow.
I don't have any inside info. That's just a complete – that's how I'm feeling, just because if you look at the back half of the schedule, they've got a couple games where – you know, they could pull out some W's and they can really kind of get him back into the mix without throwing him out there against the Niners or somebody like that early on. So I really think you save him for like week 8. I mean, the Lamar versus Kyler, that'd be a great duo too, to battle to start. So that's just kind of my gut feeling there.
What will they do at quarterback between now and then, because that's a long stretch, Tyler. Even if you're off by a few weeks, that's still a long time for a brand new head coach as they try to retool the roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be Colt McCoy's job to lose. But, you know, I would not be surprised if we see Clayton Toon, the rookie, come in there and start or at least play in a game early on. I think they want to kind of see what they can do with a mobile quarterback like Toon, whereas Colt, Jeff Driskel, David Blough, they're more of a stationary guy, stay in the pocket, where I think if Drew Petsing can run, mold Toon a little bit, and then they maybe could drop Tyler in, see what they like, see what they don't like, and go from there. Could really help when they have to get Kyler back in the mix and, you know, maybe run some of those same plays, because obviously Toon's not Kyler Murray, but if you can get a guy that could run outside, get a couple more bootlegs and really do something with the football with his feet, then you can really see what this offense might be with Kyler.
It is impressive that Colt McCoy has managed to stick and has been needed a bunch over the last couple seasons.
Yeah, it really is. Consummate professional, great dude to talk to in the interviewing. I mean, he could be a really great coach right now. And I think he was just an analyst for an XFL game, or USFL game, if I'm not mistaken. So the dude has a future way beyond football, and he's basically like another coach out there. And you know, that's what Cliff said last year and the year before. So having a guy like that Kyler can, you know, bounce things off of, and having a veteran like that in the room for Toon to learn from is just going to be solid for their growth moving forward.
Tyler, as I looked at the Cardinals schedule, what jumped out at me is the bye week, not until week 14, which is late in the season. That's pretty incredible. What jumps out at you about the schedule when it was released?
Yeah. I don't know what's up with those late byes. It feels like the Cardinals always get something like that. So NFL schedule makers just, I guess, like to do that. You know, for me, I think the Gannon New Year's Eve game against Philly is going to be the one I think a lot of people have circled. And they probably should, because just from all of the talk that's come out of Philly and just, you know, everything out of there with the tampering, and I just, that's got to be the one that's going to be, you know, a really big storyline. And I think the Houston game, just because I don't really see how a way the Cardinals can lose that game, just because all the draft implications that are in with it.
How do you think the NFC West stacks up, considering some of the changes that have taken place in the division?
I think the Niners, you know, really went out there, and getting Javon Hargrave is going to be huge for that defense. And, you know, Sam Darnold might be a sneaky addition too. Who knows how that quarterback situation is going to come out? Who knows? With that team, you really just have to drop a quarterback in and see what happens. So I think it's going to be Niners. I think it's going to be Seattle. I think it might be the Cardinals, and then I think it's going to be the Rams. It might be a pretty tough one for the Cardinals and Rams.
Tyler Drake is with us here for a couple more minutes on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. With all of that in mind, what are the potential strengths and what are the potential weaknesses of the team in 23?
Yeah, so I think a strength is going to be the offensive line. You know, I know they've got a couple of rookies that might slide in with, you know, Paris Johnson. He should be starting day one. Dude already seems like he's a veteran just from how he handles himself. John Gaines is another guy who could be the potential starter, rookie at UCLA. Outside of those guys, though, they've got a lot of veterans that know how to play with one another. And, you know, I think they're all gelling pretty well really early on. So they've got some depth there, too, with Josh Jones being kind of the swing tackle. So definitely offensive line, would say, is a strong point. The weak point's got to be the other side of the line of scrimmage, the defensive line, just because there's a lot of improvement. You know, Cam Thomas, I think, poised to have a strong year. But outside of him, a lot of question marks. There's a lot of new additions, and I just think, until we see what they do on the field, that's got to be the weak point for me right now on that team.
And you thought Friday would be the start of a nice holiday weekend, quiet post-practice. Instead, boom, right in your face, Tyler.
Yeah. Hey, you know, NFL never sleeps. The offseason is not the offseason, let me tell you that.
That is true. What were your first impressions of practice?
The vibe of it. You could tell that there was a lot of just go hard, get it done at OTAs, but, you know, it wasn't as many people, I feel, but I felt like there was a lot of work that got done. You know, it was really interesting with the rookie minicamp. I mean, there was really not that many guys out there at all, and that was kind of on purpose. They wanted guys that are going to, they feel, can contribute right away instead of filling up the field with a bunch of tryouts. So, you know, there's a concerted effort to really, really, I think, get a lot of individual work. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, from what we saw, what we can report, one thing that stood out to me was Zaven Collins working with the outside linebackers. So I thought he crushed it on the inside last year, and I think he could be a captain this year, but it seems like they really want to see what he can be as a pass rusher.
Man, a lot of intrigue, a lot of questions, but it's been that way for a few years now, so maybe we're used to it with the Arizona Cardinals. You can find Tyler on Twitter at TDrake4, the number 4, sports, and he is not only the Cardinals insider for Arizona Sports 98.7, but also the co-host of Cardinals Corner. Thank you for joining us on a holiday weekend. We really appreciate your time.
No problem. Anytime.
Good intel there. I was really captivated by what he said regarding Jonathan Gannon and the hire of the new head coach. They were looking for the opposite of Cliff Kingsbury. That speaks volumes about how badly that relationship had devolved. And of course, we know Cliff felt it too, right? Because he disappeared. He went to Thailand after the season and returned a few phone calls to say thanks, but no thanks, until he had sufficiently debriefed. He was not interested in any job in football. He has since taken one, of course, but at the time, he just wanted to get the heck out of Dodge. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we've got a post up. We're asking you to share with us the names and the photos, if you want, maybe messages for those that you want to remember on this Memorial Day Monday or Sunday night into Monday, depending upon where you are. We feel like this is important, and it's also significant to remember why we have this long weekend. I don't think that anyone begrudges us the unofficial start to summer, the travel, the time with family and friends, because that is really important. But there's a reason that this Monday is a day off from work. It's a reason why schools are closed. And so I want to make sure we take advantage of the opportunity to remember those that we've lost in service to our country. On Twitter, After Hours CBS. On our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You can't care what people think. No matter what people say to you, it can't change you. You can't allow it to change you. How about the guy who said to me, "You should give me some more respect. I am the guest."
Hey, I am the guest on the show, so show me a little bit of respect.
No, bye, buddy. See ya.
Haters gonna hate.
You can embarrass yourself in front of the entire country. I have no trouble with that. We get a lot of people who hate Amy Lawrence. Shake it off, because you can't please everybody.
Was not as open-minded, but I've been listening to you and giving time before I called in, and I'd like to say, you doing your own thing. There's gonna be a bunch of haters. Don't worry about what they're saying. I think you're doing a great job. I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake.
Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
I don't know if that was on purpose, Producer Jay. Was it? We don't have a whole lot of Taylor Swift music on the show. That one happens to be pre-produced going back to the days of Isaac. He was a big Tay fan. Tay-Tay. T-Sizzle. Whatever the nicknames are for her. She was doing concerts at MetLife in the New York City Metro this weekend. And the woman that I went hiking with, well, I went hiking with a couple of friends on Saturday. One of the women that I went hiking with had purchased tickets for she and her two daughters to go on Sunday to the Taylor Swift concert. And every 10 minutes or so, she was going over and over the fact that one of her daughters didn't want to ride with her, didn't want to take the train, didn't want to be out late, or didn't want to be on the train late following the show. Traffic's going to be insane. You can't even get your Ubers into the stadium parking lot. I mean, it was a colossal cluster if you were trying to drive. So that I heard. We heard that there were so many people on hand, of course, and you weren't even allowed in the parking lot to tailgate if you didn't have tickets. And so there was a lot of consternation about people getting there, getting out of there. And even before Sunday night's concert, so I was hanging out with her on Saturday, even before Sunday night's concert, there was all kind of feedback and reaction to what a mess it was leaving Friday night show at MetLife Stadium. So she and her daughters, now my friend is in her, I think she's early 50s. She and her daughters had purchased outfits to dress up, something to do with lace and purple and white boots and I don't know what else. Not my thing, but I've got multiple friends who've gone themselves and have even traveled to other cities to see Taylor Swift in concert or have taken their kids. I'm not sure if you heard that story. I guess it was 2 weekends ago, maybe, that Taylor Swift was in New England at Foxborough Stadium. Not only did it pour the entire time, I guess the Sunday night show that she did, or maybe it was the Saturday, because that was the weekend we were inundated by rain. Was it last weekend? It might have been last weekend.
Yeah.
And so there was a news report that I heard coming into work on that Sunday night that a father had gotten his tickets through Ticketmaster, turned out to be fraudulent, which we know happened a lot. Actually, Ticketmaster said, oh, no, it's not our fault. We sent you the tickets, blah, blah, blah. But the tickets never showed up in the mail. He was desperate for his daughter and one of her friends, or a daughter and a niece, something like that. And he paid $21,000 for a couple of tickets to replace the ones that he had that never showed up. $21,000. Do you know I borrowed 20 grand in school loans to attend Syracuse? That's what my education cost at Syracuse, my master's degree. He paid $21,000. That would probably pay for a daughter's year in school, if not all of it, then most of it, right, in college. Think about what you could do with $21,000. And he'd already paid, mind you, $1,800 for the original tickets. So we're talking $23,000 on one night for Taylor Swift. I mean, I will love my daughter to the moon and back, but there is no way I would fork over $21,000, $23,000 to twice buy Taylor Swift tickets. That is insanity. Insanity.
Even if I'm guaranteed to be able to go backstage, meet Taylor Swift after the show, get a whatever, dance with her on stage, I'm still going, oh, $23,000? I'm not sure about that.
Oh,
that
gosh,
still sounds like a lot. To spend the
$1,800
initially.
Sounds like a lot. Where would you get $23,000 from anyway?
Not here. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, if I had the money and I still was guaranteed access to meet Taylor Swift, I don't even know. $23,000, I mean, that's, like you said, think about all the things you could do for $23,000 other than, what, a couple hours of,
I could pay for a wedding and a honeymoon on $21,000. And probably still have money left over for a second honeymoon if I wanted.
Probably.
Oh my gosh. That's, I can't get over that. That kind of money to me is, it can change your entire year. It can change 2 years of to supplement your income with that kind of money, or to lose that kind of money. I'm speechless over that, because that's not my position. I've never been in that position. Maybe he has money to burn and didn't care, but it became a story because the fact that he paid $21,000 to replace the tickets he didn't have from Ticketmaster. I don't know if he got his money back from Ticketmaster or not, just that the tickets never showed up and he was scrambling and he was nervous. So my friend that was going on Sunday night said that they were looking over StubHub, Ticketmaster, because there are other people who wanted to go at the last second, right? And that the tickets, so she had a friend who'd purchased them two nights before and paid $8,000 for them, but then was trying to turn around and sell them because she wanted to be able to make money make money on them, right?
Kind of like an investment. Do you know if she was able to resell them?
I do not know that. So, yeah, there's no way. Absolutely no way. But you know what? If you have the money and that's what you want to do to make your kids happy, or maybe you wanted to go yourself, more power to you.
Well, did you see the other thing from the Taylor Swift rain show at Foxborough? Was that apparently people were catching, or one guy did it, now that multiple people are just claiming to have it. The one guy started it, he was catching the raindrops in like a mason jar or whatever and labeled it Taylor Swift's rain show. So put it on eBay, $250 later, he sold the jar of rain from Taylor Swift's concert and someone bought it for $250. And now there's like jars of Taylor Swift concert rain floating around eBay.
How would you have any idea that that was legit? Someone sold you a jar of water. How would you have any idea that it was legit?
You don't. You have no idea. But $250, someone was willing to pay to put it on their shelf and say it was. It's crazy.
I mean, it sounds like idol worship is what it sounds like.
You could just, if you were there, she's you could do it yourself.
She's just a woman. I do not understand. I don't understand. Of course, I wouldn't pay that kind of money for a sporting event either. Again, growing up poor, having lived paycheck to paycheck most of my life, that's just not something I would do. But I'm sure there are people out there who don't care about that money or feel like the experience is worth it. I can't imagine.
$23,000, Super Bowl, 50-yard line, front row for your favorite teams playing. I don't have it.
Yeah,
I don't think I could do it.
Look, you could ask me the question about any event out there. There are certainly experiences and events that I'd love to go to, but I don't have $23,000 to burn on something like that. It took me 5 years to save for the down payment on my house. That's a down payment on a house. There is no way that I could afford to pay $23,000 for one event, nor would I. Yeah, can't possibly. Even if I wanted to, can't do it. So those people that can, well, that's a different conversation, I suppose. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, but mostly beyond this, if you want to share your Taylor Swift concert experience, great. But beyond this, we want you to share with us the names, maybe the photos, messages for those that you're honoring and remembering this Memorial Day. So we do have a post up on both Twitter and Facebook. And throughout the day on Monday, we will retweet them. Or I know many of you, you'll go and you'll look at the thread on our Facebook page because it is the reason that we have this long weekend. So that's what we want to do every year. We want to highlight even as we talk about sports. Coming up next, not one of the four major team sports, but an iconic event every Memorial Day weekend. And the winner has quite a story to tell, as well as a wild finish. And then what we look forward to in these next couple weeks, the French Open without Rafael Nadal, but it is a major opportunity for one Novak Djokovic.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This guy right here grabbed the brass ring and took it home.
Oh, not going up the fence. He's going through the fence. Joseph Newcomb into the crowd. Look at this.
He might never make it back.
This is awesome. This has been a burning pain and a burning desire for Joseph Newgarden.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The IndyCar coverage on NBC, and wow, it was mass chaos, but Newgarden could not be held out of the stands. He wanted to be there with the people, and he'll explain why, but for him it was important because of how many times he'd been denied the checkered flag at the Indy 500, and it could not have been more dramatic at the finish. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. If you watched it on Sunday afternoon, the Brickyard in Indianapolis, well, you know that there were three red flags in the final 16 laps, I believe, and long delays. This is what people generally complain about with NASCAR, except they had to clean up the debris. One particular wreck that took quite a while for them to clean up featured a driver and his car getting tipped upside down, had lost a tire. A tire got clipped by another car that was out of control. So as the tire comes clean off his car, of course, he loses stability. These cars are going sometimes 200 plus miles per hour. And the tire itself is supposed to be tethered to the car, but the tether gets cut, it gets sheared, whatever it is, and goes on a wild ride up over the catch fence. Thankfully, it missed the grandstands because it looked like it was going to land right in the middle of a huge crowd of people in the grandstands. Could have been potentially very dangerous. Instead, not a whole lot less dangerous. It ends up going over the grandstands and coming down on a car just off to the left of this one particular section of stands. I just saw an interview with a woman whose car got tagged by this tire. Wait till you hear it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Joseph Newgarden said IndyCar champion, but had never won the Indy 500. And after they got through all the red flags, it essentially set up something similar to the way that NASCAR handles its overtime, which is a green-white checker finish. Two laps for the checkered flag. It's 2.5 miles. And so they get started. Marcus Ericsson is trying to win another Indy 500. And on the last lap, Newgarden passes him, kind of a slingshot. So gets a great run off turn two, is able to use that momentum to go around the outside, and then just has to hang on for dear life and do what he can to keep Ericsson behind him, which he does. He's a Roger Penske driver, and Penske now owns the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, so there's been a major shift there. I think his 19th Indianapolis 500 win. And does it with Newgarden, who grabs his first and then ends up in the stands just so he can commune with the people. Obviously very emotional. He does an interview with WTHR there in Indy, and you can hear the emotions just kind of pouring out of him.
I appreciate being here so much. I appreciate it more than I ever have. I remember being here 12 years ago as a rookie, and I just didn't understand the magnitude of this. You know it's a big race, right, but you just don't appreciate it when you're younger. And the more times you've been here, the more heartbreak you've had, the more you realize how special it is to finally win it. And I said, look, if there was ever an opportunity where we were in a position again to win, I'm either fencing the car or I'm winning the race. I didn't want to finish second, third, or fourth. It was all on the line today, and you know my team stuck with me, and I'm just thankful to be here. You have no idea.
And when he says fencing it, he means actually putting it into the fence. In another interview, he said, I'm either wrecking or I'm winning. I'm either wrecking the damn car or I'm winning the checkered flag. It's one or the other. He goes on to say, this one's special because of my history. Not just my history of over a decade of disappointment at the Brickyard.
Indiana, to me, is a second home. I started racing karts here when I was 13 with my dad. And so my parents, my family really supported me in this dream. And we basically lived at Newcastle, Indiana for a couple of years racing karts, learning about what, you know, racing was and, you know, how to get involved in IndyCar. And so to come here, you know, many years later and see my parents, see my dad, and see this beautiful Indiana crowd, to me, it's a dream come true. There's no doubt.
He's 32 years old. He's from Nashville. First American to win Indy since 2016. He only led 5 of the laps. There's 200 laps. He only led 5 of them. And it was one of the tightest finishes in the 100-plus year history of the race. Here's the margin of victory. 0.0974 of a second. So, if we're rounding, 97 thousandths of a second. And the tradition is that you pour the bottle of milk over your head. After you take a couple sips, you pour the bottle of milk over your head. Oh my gosh, I'm seeing it right now on one of the highlights. Thankfully, he had a hat, so none of it got in his face. But you also kiss the bricks. So this American was able to kiss the bricks. And generally, it's not just you, but it's your team that kisses the bricks. A lot of times, it's your wife, it's your family that also kisses the bricks. So he was busy. Joseph gets into the stands. He celebrates in a mosh pit of people who are there just off the racetrack. He pours the milk over his head. He's wearing the wreath. And he kisses the bricks. And then he cries because he's thinking about his wife and what it means to her.
My poor wife gets the... You know, she's probably got the toughest job in our family, not just because she, you know, she looks out for everything and, you know, helps make my world go around. But, you know, she sees the negative impact. She sees the heartbreak more than anyone else. And so she knows what that's like. And I'm just happy we were able to finally win it. She knows that too. So
don't know why I'm getting emotional about it, but
I do.
She's just as competitive as me, so I can imagine how happy she was.
If you're watching the race, you know that there's always cameras on the wives. In fact, Marcus Ericsson's wife had a camera on her, too, for quite a while. But the wife of Joseph Newgarden, she burst into tears herself. She was sobbing also before she was headed to victory lane. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So happy for him. He was 0 for 11 before that. Of course, different story for Robin Matthews, the woman whose car got tagged by the tire that went flying over the catch fence toward the end of the race, right? There's just a few laps to go. She's in a suite somewhere, so she doesn't even know until she finds out from people who are talking about it and sending photos.
Everybody was saying that, well, tire, we saw the tire go over because I was in turn two, and they said the tire went over, and somebody said that it hit one of the golf carts. Well, I was parked by the golf cart, and I looked, and I saw the back of my car, and I'm like, okay, I didn't think of anything. And then somebody from another suite's like, Robin, it was your car. And I'm like, shut up, you know, because I didn't believe him. He's a jokester. And he's like, it's your car. And he showed me a picture. I'm like, immediately my stomach dropped, and I was shaking, just anxious and nervous, you know, just scared, not just thankful that nobody got hurt, you know. And my car's name is Snowball, and she took one for the team.
See, I'm not the only one who names my car. Robin says her car's name is Snowball, and she took one for the team, if you couldn't hear it at the end. The car, by the way, was Kyle Kirkwood. For those of you who are watching the race, you saw him. His car was bright pink. He gets clipped by another car. His right rear tire just gets ripped off of its tether. It goes flying, rolling and flying up over the catch fence. Thankfully misses the people. No one were injured. Nobody was injured. But the tire comes down right onto the hood of her Chevrolet that's in the parking lot next to the grandstand. I mean, narrowly cleared the packed grandstand, so praise God for that. And Kyle Kirkwood is okay. They rescued him right away, but Snowball, not the same fate. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
The Health One healthcare system is proud to have been named one of the top places to work for women in the nation by Newsweek. Health One is the only healthcare provider in Colorado and one of only six organizations in the state to be recognized with this award. Thank you to all our colleagues, physicians, and volunteers for making Health One a great place to give and receive care. Learn more about our services, physicians, and locations by visiting healthonecares.com. That's healthonecares.com.
Is your home ready for summer? Beat the heat with Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale, happening now. Save 45% on selected products, plus doorbusters. Buying custom window treatments doesn't have to be complicated or break the bank. With Blinds.com, you never have to sacrifice when it comes to style, service, or selection. We have everything from Roman and roller shades to shutters, curtains, and more. Plus outdoor shades to keep you cool all summer long. No showroom? No problem. Our design experts are here to help, and we ship samples directly to you. Fast and free. Need assistance with measuring and installation? We've got you covered there, too. No need for an in-home consultation just to get a quote. You can always count on upfront pricing right on our website. And you can always rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale now and save 45% on selected products. Plus doorbusters. 45% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The finals are here, and the biggest assist is happening off the court. BetQL has the best sportsbook deals, bonus offers, and exclusive access to risk-free bets, giving you more bang for your basketball buck. Visit BetQL to unlock special offers and finish the season on a winning note. No matter which team you're rolling with, BetQL's bonus offers can be the alley to your sports betting oop. Go to BetQL.com/hoops to take advantage of these exclusive offers. That's BetQL.com/hoops.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.